Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Trista, would you take roll, please?
Yes. Chris Allen?
Here.
Lynn Archer?
Yes.
Tracy Bartel?
Here.
Kurt Woods?
Here.
Mary Beth Mayo?
Here.
James Maloney?
Here.
TJ Briggs?
Absent. Everyone was distributed the minutes of our February 3rd, 2015 meeting. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to those minutes as presented? And I'd like to just rewind. I'd like to call this meeting to order. My apologies. So, is there a motion to approve the minutes as presented? So moved. Just a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay, duly noted. Thank you, Legislator Allen. We have some guests with us this evening. Susan Holt, Director of the Office of Business Services, and also Steve Rice, Chairman of the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee. Suzanne, turn to the floor for a few minutes.
Hi, thank you for having me here tonight. I want to talk to you for a few minutes. About economic development, the Office of Economic Development in general, and then talk to you about the marketing education plan for the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance. In general, the Office of Economic Development is the front door for all businesses in Ulster County and nonprofits related to economic development as well. I thought it, because there's so many different tasks and responsibilities involved with what seems like a small job, I just thought I would tell you a little bit about sort of my day today and my day tomorrow, just to give you a snapshot of what we're busy with. This morning started at 7 o'clock with a pre-meeting for the IDA. The IDA met at 7:30, and there were audit committee meetings, and in addition to the IDA, there's also the Capital Resource Committee. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the IDA is for for-profit businesses, and the CRC is for Ulster County's nonprofits. So we had two audit committee meetings, one for the IDA and the CRC, and then a meeting each, and then the governance committee. So we had five meetings this morning before 9:30. As the day progressed, had multiple meetings with those Ulster County businesses, a manufacturer who's looking for some assistance, and also talked to a business in Chicago that's interested in Startup New York and had them relocate to Houston. Met with a legislator to try to talk about some of the issues with economic development in Ulster County. And tonight at 6 o'clock, the Economic Development Alliance hosted a Spanish-speaking seminar at a restaurant in Kingston on Broadway that's actually just wrapping up right now. So we were there to kick that off and get that panel going. The whole, it was six presenters in Spanish. And now I'm here tonight to meet with you all. Tomorrow there's a Mid-Hudson Regional Economic Development Committee meeting at the Culinary Institute in Hyde Park. The K Executive is a member and I'm his designee, and that's the board that helps with the consolidated funding applications, which is the governor's program for grants in New York State, and it's the way to bring home tens, if not $100 million a year for Ulster County's businesses and nonprofits. So that's a really important meeting. I'm meeting with Cindy Nichols and the deans in the School of Business tomorrow to talk about collaborating with the School of Business. Meeting with two small businesses in New Paltz, and then there's a tourism advisory meeting in Ellenville tomorrow afternoon, plus I'm meeting with a business in Ellenville on the way. So just to sort of give you a snapshot of two, every day is not that busy, but that's just two random days that I just thought I would share with you as sort of a background for some of the work that we do. Specifically, in addition to the business retention and expansion work that the Office of Economic Development does, the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance is responsible for marketing and education for the county. I did bring the plan that the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance would like to complete in 2015. They voted on this at their last meeting, and I'm here tonight to ask the committee to fund these activities. So what you'll see there as far as marketing is concerned, So just to take a step back, last year, as you know, the EDA contracted with Focus Media, which did an amazing job putting together professional collateral for us, and started us sort of on the right foot of putting a professional foot forward and started us with our advertising and marketing efforts. Because of some feedback from the legislature as well as for other reasons, what we'd like to do in 2015 is hire Peer Fairweather with Fairweather Consulting to do what's called a targeted industry analysis to really evaluate all of Ulster County's assets and competitors and help us figure out exactly which type of businesses we should be targeting and the best ways to target them. In addition, because that's going to take about 6 months to complete, we've decided to proceed with what we're calling a technopreneur campaign. And what this is targeting the small 2 to 10 person businesses in New York City, people who can make a decision on where to locate their business based on quality of life, and who want to be in Ulster County where they can run and hike and whatnot. And so we have quite a few businesses here already for our poster children. And so the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance is planning to contract with a local PR advertising firm to do a targeted marketing campaign to the technopreneurs and to contract with another local Ulster County business on a video that would be used for social media and whatnot. Before I go on, are there any questions, or should I just... Hector.
Thanks. So, and I apologize for missing part of your intro here, but I don't think anybody here disagrees with the idea of course reaching out to other locations to, you know, for business attraction purposes, but I mean, what are we doing now, I guess, with our existing businesses here in the county to go and support them? I mean, that was always our focus.
Sure.
Previously, was to be able to kind of grow local businesses.
Right. So yeah, I'm sorry you weren't here, but that I would say that 90%+ of our time is the Office of Economic Development is spent on business retention and expansion, and we have first of all, with the consolidated funding application, which is the governor's, which is the only big place to get money for Ulster County businesses, we work really hard all from whenever the governor releases it in the spring through the fall, helping dozens of businesses and nonprofits to write grant applications to bring home millions and millions of dollars to Ulster County. For all the businesses that really don't have grants, we do business counseling, and we're trying to do a lot of educational programs. So right now there's a Spanish-speaking going on. Right now there's a Spanish-speaking program for entrepreneurs in Kingston. We have an ag succession program coming up for farmers.
Are you doing the Spanish-speaking entrepreneur series also in Ellenville?
We did it in Ellenville in October.
And in Potico?
I haven't bought a Potato Hill. I didn't know that there was a big Spanish-speaking community there, but that was certainly...
Hi, heck of a view, so I'm from Potato Hill.
Okay. That was a huge success in Ellenville in October, which is what led us to do it in Kingston tonight. And I would love to work with you to do it in Ellenville or in Potato Hill next. But we're basically trying to do... educational, you know, different programs that different communities have asked for, that have expressed the need, whether it's webinars, seminars, conferences, as well as business counseling and, a lot of networking, offering mentors, partnering with SCDC.
I mean, I apologize. Are we also, at the same time, though, working on anybody getting more space? We had several companies that have grown discussion to flow, you know, is one that has kind of gone sort of back and forth, but generally speaking, they've been going back to the state several times, so I don't know how we also...
Yeah, no, I was at Precision Flow recently, and... they did just grow at Tech City, and there's more room for them to grow there, and I do. We have the Catalyst database online that we work really hard to keep as up-to-date as possible with all of the space that is for rent and for sale in Ulster County. We work with the commercial realtors. We've also instituted in the past 6 months or so what we're calling a property e-blast, where we feature two properties geographically diverse in the county and send that out to a few hundred people who are in the site selection world to get that word out and help our realtors to move properties. So
any other questions for Suzanne?
So basically, the targeted industries analysis, the Technopreneur campaign, I just talked about the property e-blast. We've been doing a quarterly newsletter that's been well received. I expect the next one will actually be on Ulster County's, success stories, entrepreneurial success stories in Ulster County. So that should be coming out soon. And the property e-blast, and then we found that the Facebook, it was a small cost to pay to boost the posts to get more Facebook following. So we'd like to do that again as well. As many different education programs as we can, as there's an interest for, and as we can put together.
Anyone else? Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Okay. Steve Rice. Steve, very, very, very briefly, gentlemen, I just want to just make a statement. I know we have people from the trails, people from the railroad. I want to keep this on point. I don't want this to turn into, you know, a jousting match between the trails and the rails. So, that being said, I'm sorry?
I'm here to present our official report, our annual report to the committee. I sent it electronically. I have count nine copies in color. If folks want, it's 10 pages. Certainly not going to read it to you, but I definitely highlighted our successes and our endeavor to connect up the many sections of trail that we have and the amount of money that's starting to flow into the county from grant sources as well as private sources to make this happen. We run an open format meeting where anyone can come in. We have someone from the railroad almost every open meeting where people can discuss their views and discuss them in due respect. So I don't want to take a lot of your time off the way even in public speaking. Absolutely not my forte, but I'd be willing to answer any technical questions about trails or about the presentation that I chose.
Any questions for Mr. Rice? Thank you, Mr. Rice. Thus, moving into resolutions, resolution number 96, dissolving the Ulster County Railroad Advisory Committee and creating the Ulster and Delaware Railroad Corridor Advisory Committee / Ulster County Legislature. Is there a motion to move the resolution forward?
I'll move it.
Motion by Legislator Allen.
I'll second for discussion.
Very good. Second by Legislator Archer. Any discussion?
This is yours.
Oh, goodness, okay. I will tell you, I will entertain any questions or comments everybody has. I've thought long and hard about it. I've spoken to a lot of people about it today. I'm going to ask that the committee postpone this resolution for 1 month and 1 month only. I will entertain any comments and any suggestions to make it better, to make it more palatable to either side, to make the best committee to do the best job for the county. I wholly and totally believe that I have the votes in the room to move it to the floor tonight and the votes in the room to pass it on the floor next week. But if this passes 12-11 or 13 to 10 or in any closed fashion like that, it's not going to have the buy-in that is necessary to create good policy for the county. So I'm inviting everybody for 1 month to try and make it better, make it happier, more palatable, more compromising, any way we can do it. I'm not necessarily going to accept any of the, I'm not necessarily going to promise to accept any or all of the changes, but I'm open to discussion. And my cell phone's always on, everyone's got it online, so
I'll move that motion to me.
So you want to
hold off for 1 month.
Hold off for 1 month.
Motion to postpone. Second.
Hold on. Sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So,
no, Tracy. I know about it.
And I've spoken to him. I've spoken to different people about it, including people in this room. And I'm grateful that you're moving to postpone it because I think a comprehensive would be good.
Better,
yeah. I think the way that we begin that, though, is by starting to talk about it now. Like, yeah. Rather than, okay, motion to postpone, and then we'll meet in a month, and
mm-hmm.
we've had only a offline conversation. I mean, I think, since we're all at the table, it would help if you could start talking about,
I'd love to. My goal for this resolution is to get all parties at the table to discuss the future of the corridor. We talk about it in different committees in different ways. In the Railroad Advisory Committee, we typically talk about the current operators on the railroad corridor with the 20-year lease that's up in about 13, 14 months, 15 months, however long it is now. In the Trails Advisory Committee, we typically talk about the corridor and how it pertains to the future of a trail. There have been other discussions about compromises, including the county executive's compromise plan, which would bring the rail and trail to Hurley Mountain Road, and then trail only beyond Hurley Mountain Road to Boyceville, and then rail only from Boyceville as far westward as they can go until the end of the corridor. And without getting everybody at the table and looking at all of the studies, and not just the studies that pertain to one side or the other, there are studies that promote the trail, there are studies that promote the rails, and I believe in my heart of hearts that somewhere in the middle there is the best plan for the county. And I believe that the group of people that has been chosen to serve on here, although it's changed a few times and been, flowed sort of with discussion with both sides, with members of both camps, if you will, that those people could adequately represent both points of view. There are a couple of people that I wish that I could have on there in place of other people, but some people have that moment that they did cancer, and I respected that and tried to replace them the best they could. That's sort of an overview if that works, and then if anybody has any further comments or questions or concerns. The funny part about this is that I've been told by the rail people that they think that I'm favoring the trail, and I've been told by the trail people that they think that I'm favoring the rail, so I think that's probably the perfect compromise.
David?
What do you envision this committee doing? Do you envision the possibility of doing requests for proposals on pieces of the property?
I don't believe that we as a legislative body have the authority to do a request for proposal. We could ask that the county executive's office do one. I know the county executive's office is probably planning on doing some of them. And that would be in discussion with the county executive. I've thought about most of the charter created positions have been there, or any other duties as directed by the executive or county legislature, and some don't. So our ability to, if you would, demand an RFP, I think is murky. But I think we've been working with the executive's office on coming to, and the planning department and the rest of the involved departments. I believe we probably could work with them to get one.
All right. Because there is, I know there's been other places throughout the country, shall we say, there's things that have happened not too long ago up in the Adirondacks on a, I think it's a 120-mile railroad corridor that they were sitting down and having discussions on and what they were going to be doing with it. And, you know, a lot of it, of course, just becomes emotional, and that's one of the biggest things here. That's what's making it very difficult is that, and this is, I believe, it may be the only one that actually has an existing railroad that's going to be removed when they were from the railroad. So that's what makes it even a little more emotional than these other places that have had the argument that some people just, you know, feel they want the ability to go back to that railroad because we know what's ripped up and gone.
Well,
so I mean, I applaud that you're going to postpone it, and I don't question your integrity on this. I think you're looking at trying to do something that's the best for the county, and it's not easy to do. So.
I appreciate that, Dave, and I want to say from my previous comments that both the members of the rail side and the members of the trail side, no one has questioned my integrity or my motives. It's all about the final product has been the question. So it's entertaining to me that, you know, everybody thinks I'm not taking them, and I'm really not taking nobody.
Mama?
Yeah,
I
have a concern, and that is that you're seeing this as a balanced representation of two sides. And I've tried really hard not to take sides. I don't want to be in a position of having to represent the rail position or the trail position. What I would like to see happen is a facilitated conversation where all of the stakeholders speak for themselves and bring information for themselves.
And that's my goal, and I don't mean to say, you know, rail people and trail people. It's my personal hope, and I've always done it, it come to the table with a completely open mind and work from there. But there are perceptions on both sides on who's with who, and I guess using other people's perceptions.
I think Vanna's point is the facilitator aspect of it. In other words, we need to maybe put money in the budget for a facilitator to actually come in and really create a conversation, a real conversation, instead of this is my stand, and nobody's really, and everybody's taking, too many people are taking very hard stands. And sometimes I think they feel they have to take the hard stand because they're afraid they're going to give up something. And we really got to look at it from another angle. We got to look at it not that we're going to be giving up something, but we're going to get a better product in the end. And in order to do that, you really have to have some type of a facilitator that knows what they're doing and knows how to run that type of meetings. And they may go meetings for, you know, they may be two or three meetings with just a facilitator. And then they come up, and I don't know if you remember when we did the Ulster Tomorrow. Do you remember that? The thing that fell apart on that was the economy fell apart. We did it back in 2008, and what ended up happening was the economy went into the drinks, and, you know, the things that we put together ended up getting lost because we were worried about buying our loaves of bread the next week. So as a result, but it was very well done in that, you know, everybody came to the table. And you were involved in it, Hector was involved in it, a number of people were involved in that, and I think it was good, but
there are a lot of us now. And again, I don't want to go with it.
Yeah, right.
So, but I will agree that having someone with expertise in the area and or somebody with facilitation skill can be very useful, but I think that's also when the sides are coming. They sort of realize they've reached such a massive impact and they want to get to a solution. Okay? And that was where we were at in 2006. Because of the things already happening within UCDC at the time, we were going to go tomorrow to where it was, which is basically we had reached an impact, but we wanted to go and actually find a solution. And that's where a facilitator was used. So.
Gentlemen, I do appreciate all of, and you're going to pull this for reach out to everybody, get the people together and start the discussion. But I do want to keep moving here. Call the question.
You have, well, you currently have one motion. I have a second.
Right, it has to be called.
Right,
we're calling. No, we're not calling. We're
postponed.
For 1 month.
No, we have a motion to postpone.
Oh. Second.
Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We did.
Call it.
Good. Thank moving you. Right along. Resolution number 113, thank you, Ken. Supporting placement of video lottery terminals at the Hudson Valley Resort and the Pine Grove Ranch in the town of Rochester. We have Mr. David O'Halloran here this evening and Mr. Elliot Spitzer. Gentlemen, welcome. David, take a couple of minutes.
Come on up, Elliot. You tried to make me do all the talking. We also have our supervisor from the town of Rochester, Carl Tippin, with us tonight. First of all, thank you for taking the time and putting us on your committee agenda. We appreciate it. Elliot represents the Hudson Valley Resort in Charleston, and I have Pine Grove Ranch in Charleston. Elliot's 345 rooms, I'm 125 rooms. We're basically, you're looking at, I'm trying to think of all the counties, others, just a couple others. No Hong, no, really wasn't always part of the Castro Resort. But you're looking at a couple of survivors of the days of the 50s, 60s, and 70s when there was many, many properties like us. Now there's very few properties like us. We've, in our area, while we've been fortunate to grow as a county in tourism, as a day property, as a county where many people come for hiking and trails and have beautiful, almost second to none landscapes of both county, the resort business, the destination business, has been a struggle. We're really no longer a destination. It was when your mom and dad and the family sit together and say, where are we going to go for summer vacation? They talk about Lake George, they talk about Wildwood, they talk about Jersey Shore, Cape Cod, and I Adirondack, so mentioned things like that. The word Catskills really doesn't come up in that conversation any longer. So what have we done? We've become destinations on ourselves. So when I advertise, I don't advertise against Hudson Valley. I don't advertise against Rocky North Ranch. I don't advertise against any property that you know of in this area. I advertise against LBI. I advertise against Virginia Beach. I advertise against Jersey Shore properties throughout Long Island, the Hamptons, because I have to be in the discussion when they're saying, do I want to go to Jersey Shore, do I want to go to Lake George, or do I want to go to Pine Grove? But that's where we have to be in the discussion. So this hurdle's been tough for us. We're struggling. Hudson Valley Resort, as you know, has just came out of successfully out of bankruptcy, but it's struggling, and Allie will speak to that. We are too, to maintain, maintain growth has been really tough in the chest, don't get me wrong. We're very fortunate in our case, 13, we finally hit the black. After 9, 10, 11, 12 of declining gross revenues, we finally flattened out. 14, we had an increase, which was great. First time I've seen it in 5 years, so it was exciting. But we're not out of the woods, and we've got a long ways to go. For many years, and I know you've all heard of it, the last two, we've been working on DLTs. And this goes back for me almost 10 years. And we've been working quietly and through the system, trying to get when it's right and when the door could be open. And we respected and we stood back and supported the county's decision and many in our community's decision to wait and see what happens with the casino location boards and where the casinos are sited. And unfortunately, Ellenville and Ulster County did not receive a casino. And we understand that. And that's tough for the community of Ellenville. It's tough for all of us. But Sullivan County is having one. Now, that's great for Sullivan County. And we're happy for the folks in Sullivan County. For us, more competition. All right, we've already got 10 casino resorts in Pennsylvania in the last 5 years that have opened up. We've got properties in Connecticut to be challenged against us. We've got all types of competition. And we're basically a non-destination for resort location, right? So we struggle on a huge marketing percentage. I was a Georgian on Lake George. I wait for you to decide on Lake George, and I advertise in my little regional maps and brochures and stuff for you to choose within Lake George. But you've already decided on Lake George. we don't have that. All right, so we need a competitive amenity, and BLTs is a competitive amenity for us. It would open the door for, typically I'll speak about my property here, it would open the door for us on a midweek basis. This month of March, we're going to have four weekends and out. So we have two nights of business for four weekends, and I still have my fuel bills, my electric bills, my employee bills, and everything else for seven nights. You can't operate like that. I mean, you just can't. You know, you've heard about, I'm sure, as you've been at the dinner, you know, restaurants struggling with similar things. Well, that multiplier got cost by 100, okay? That's a resort. Right? We're not a motel. I mean, I wish, you know, Scott, if I was a limited service motel, this would be a non-issue. I could probably make a good living on just 2 nights a week. Because what, I'd have my 16, 20 employees? And I still need 95 employees to get through a single weekend in the off-season. Right? It's an employee-intensive business. They're three times my size. Same problem, same challenge. So it's a very tough economic struggle for us. So with this amenity, and we do use the word amenity for the LTs, for the City Lottery Terminals, because the amount we're asking for, the limited number we're asking for, it's important for it to be limited for two reasons that I'll explain. First of all, for us, because it's a limited number, we still have to be very good at what we do. Because we can't stand alone with just a room of a couple hundred BLTs and think that's going to make us a first-class resort or a place that's going to be attractive to today's travelers. No, in my case, I still got to be really good at the trail rides. I got to be really good at my Western theme. I got to provide good food and options and entertainment for these children. I got to keep the kids busy from morning till God. They go to bed past my bedtime. So, you know, the responsibility is still there to do what we do well. What this does is gives us that midweek opportunity. Senior citizens travel midweek throughout the year for slot-type activities. So what are we looking for? Four or five buses a week. Right, we're not, four or five buses a week to us, midweek, Monday to Friday, means the difference between employees getting a part-time paycheck and a full-time paycheck. It means the difference between them being able to buy and afford a home and having a rent. It means the difference between them actually maybe the first time buying a brand new car. I mean, it's a huge difference. And with this proposal, we're not just talking about taking our employees from part-time to full-time. We're also talking about bringing them to a sustainable wage where they could be basically the breadwinner. Because we're talking about union operation of our facilities. All right? And we want to welcome that as an operation of our facilities. So, because, listen, we as property owners, resort owners, we're going to share in the revenue. We're going to share the revenue of the VLTs, the slots, whichever term you like to use. We're going to share, you know, our room revenue. We work off and get a pizza every single day. Mm-hmm. It's our opportunity to get room revenue from all the different lines, from restaurants to souvenirs and everything else we sell on our property. What is, you know, what about our employees? Because it's not just about owners, right? And for those of us, anyone knows Pine Grove, you know, my employees are family, you know, so they've been employees there as long as I have, 30-something years, 35 years I've been employees with me. They know everything that's going on as a kid, but that's another story. I won't go there. But so employees will truly benefit from becoming part-time. And believe it or not, our part-time, year-round employees, they actually make it. They actually save money through the summer busy season, and they stay with me through the winter working 2 days a week, all right? And they've been with me 20 years. I mean, you got to applaud them. I mean, they struggle, but problems. That's how license are often. Well, we want to prove that license. That's what we're here tonight for. But there's one part of this which I think, she's not here. There's one part of this which I think has a greater possibility of economic benefit for Ulster County than anything that's been proposed before. And we thought a lot about this. And it's about sharing. If we can share, right, we can all grow. And, you know, that story about, you know, the water flows all boats. This is an exact example. Throughout this country, you can't go to a casino, you can't go to a casino, where you don't, you know, you may be gambling on a machine, you may win or lose, but you're earning comp dollars all the way through. And we all know what everyone does with comp dollars. They use them for comp rooms, they buy buffets and dinners, souvenirs and gift shops, show tickets, so forth. We came up with a better idea. We'll give you out debit cards, not for the properties, not for the resorts, We have enough ways to get them to give us money, and we get the room revenue and all the things we just mentioned. We want them to take those reward dollars, and we want them only available, only to be able to be used in Ulster County. And we don't care what for. And we're not asking for buy-in from any shop owner, farm stand, restaurant. No, they're going to be just like every other customer you have. The difference is we're using comp dollars to pay for your meal dollar for dollar, immediate income to you. You don't have to submit bills. You don't have to submit paperwork. It's no different than a credit card. So that's on the right side of the little flyer I passed up. Probably the most important thing, if this is successful, if we're able to get through the Assembly and the Senate and the governor signs off, over time, forget the hotels. The hotels will do well. The resources are well, if there's any. But the communities, you're going to take wholesalers and you're going to put retail fronts out. You're going to take shops and they're going to expand and grow. These people will not leave without spending their money. If you know anything about people with comp dollars, they want to spend them. And they might not all buy restaurants. They might buy snow shovels this winter. You'd be surprised. But they're going to stop and they're going to spend that money. Because some of them are going to have hundreds and hundreds of dollars on that. You'd be surprised how much they add up to. It's not like airline miles that take a long time. Comp dollars roll right up quickly during a short stay at a resort with VLTs. So I tried to cover some of the basics. I'll let Ellie speak for a moment. We came from Seward's office this morning. Senator Seward said to say hello. He also pointed out the importance of your support, which we knew and we appreciated it, you know, the advice. And there is a bill in the Assembly. Kevin Cahill has already sponsored it through. Senator Seward's waiting for you all next week to decide to continue moving forward. We've had past support from our town of Rochester. So we're looking forward to going to them again. And I'll be Alex for a moment, and we'll take questions if you have any.
I don't have much more to add. And I appreciate everybody's support. Happy to answer any questions, and maybe it's calling us.
Jim, can I
do? Absolutely. I was going to introduce you in a second. Any questions for Mr. Spitzer? We also have Supervisor Chipman from the town of Rochester.
And my partner.
And then why? Don.
And yes, I'm sorry, Don. Good to see you.
Just a question, and I'll cut right to it. There is local support from the town of Rochester.
We voted 2 years ago.
Yes.
And we couldn't get a resolution through. It was withdrawn in the legislature back then. And it was because of the Nepali.
No, the town supported it by the town. Right.
We already have a resolution that supported it, so that was passed.
Okay.
I think Lynn said it was given with
the and that support is still here today.
That support is still there. Right. I was up in Albany last June with these guys trying to get this through. The Pine Grove Resort and the Hudson Valley Resort. Well, Hudson Valley Resort and Pine Grove Resort are number one and number two employers, private employers in my town, and then the only agency that employs more people in my town is based on tax dollars, which is the Roundel Valley School District. That's how important it is to us, and God forbid we don't have these guys there, these businesses there. We're going to lose those jobs. I'm going to have properties, my two most expensive properties in town. Who's going to pay the taxes there? Luckily, the county covers us on that. But folks, the truth is that what they're trying to do also works with my vision for Accord and our hand with Accord and Carhanson. We need to bring Main Street back. We need businesses back, antique shops, art shops, coffee shops, restaurants. Those, we need to bring that back, and what they want to do with the comp dollars works right into what I envision for our town, to bring back some kind of economic base that we used to have.
Right.
And I can see nothing but good coming out of this. And I'd like to, and one thing that really bothers me is when we discuss VLTs, some people have this idea that these casinos are going up there. These are just amenities to bring their customers in. This isn't for me to go up there and spend my hard-earned paycheck or something. You know, this is going to bring the businesses in. And I'll tell you, folks, I grew up, what paid for my college education was the Brookside Hotel.
for many years. I worked my way up through the dining room while I was going to college. And I remember afterwards, they put in all the casinos down in Atlantic City, and you saw all those senior citizen groups that kept the hotels going. You know, it'd be the Long Island seniors here or the Queens co-ops or whatever. They'd be coming in on the midweek. Well, when they started giving them the $25 in coins to play the machines, she lost them. And these people never came back. That's when our hotels started going downhill. And we really do need to support our hotels. And now, like David said, now that Sullivan County is going to have that casino there, they can give away rooms, folks. You know, you can't compete with them for rooms because they're getting all that income. So they need it, I think, that it's some kind of competitive equality there. And I think this will do it. And I thank you for your time and listening.
Very welcome. Are there any questions for either David or Elliot?
Yes, you may.
In my district, people voted in the 7 sub-districts. 5 of them voted no on casino. And my sense is, from talking to a lot of people, that their concern was gambling and, I guess my big question is, how do you know that just putting this amenity is going to be, is there some data, you know?
I can share some information. Yes. First of all, in one of the concerns that people have, rightfully so, against ills of gambling, concerns about gambling, it's really not something that would affect on a small scale what we're doing. First of all, just like you may be familiar with Mohawk Mountain House, they charge a day pass. So do we. So when we charge day passes, the property that charge day passes, you're not going to be having your community residents coming to play with you often, because truthfully they're not going to want to use your pools and activities and everything else that the person that's coming from New York or otherwise for the day would like to be using the facility, but they just want to come and gamble. Well, there's other places to do that, much larger than what we're proposing, and much more inexpensive, because those places would probably pay to go there, but we're going to charge them to walk through our doors, because we're still a small resort, and we can't afford to have you on our property without charging you, so it's effectively to stay for all our guests to arrive. As far as what the industry numbers on VLTs, there's an amount of money that each one individually should bring in if the property's brought up to appropriate standards, and that's what Elliot's probably been addressing more than I. But so with the understanding those numbers, while it's not a large sum of money to a Sullivan County full Class 3 casino looking for hundreds and hundreds of millions, it means to a property of my size, if we have 200 machines, it means, you know, $200 in net revenue to us. $2 million in net revenue to us annually. And that's not a huge sum of money. That's our net income. Because you're looking at about $10,000 per unit as a net to the property. Now, the state takes a large share. All the other participants, OTB and everybody else, takes a large share. We're talking about what's left for the facility, the property. Well, that, while that's not a huge sum, that can finance a large, and you understand, if you could keep all that money, that'd be great. But you still have to pay your salaries and payroll. This is per machine net. It can finance a considerable investment. So for a property like ours, you're looking at approximately a $10 million renovation project with 200 slot machines, 200 video lottery terminals. 345 rooms, 500 units, you're looking at a $30, $40 million renovation. All right, and everything we're proposing, we've already talked to our old friend in Orange County, the construction trades labor union. Everything we're talking about is union work from the construction renovations, south of the area, slip on my remote. Everything we're talking about, because first of all, we're dealing with New York State, and we're realistic. And we understand that if you're going to get a bill like this, legislation like this, through the Assembly and the Senate, you need the support of the unions. It's just part of, you know, our landscape. So these numbers, while we can send to you more industry standards, if you like, that I can share with you, these are approximate numbers. But understand, these are small-scale amenities we're looking at. Our facilities already do considerably more than that in gross revenue. But this is a revenue based on a single amenity. We don't have anything like that right now. Kelly's Golf Course does not bring that type of revenue.
Any other questions?
Jordan? Elliot?
if you want, I can just clarify this. That when people are going to be coming to one of our resorts, there's two reasons they're going to come. One is because we're putting in this added renovation, so it's going to be brought up to, you know, a 3-4-star product as opposed to what it is today. And because of that, the people actually, you know, coming to the site, they're not coming there because it's a casino. They're not coming there. In other words, sometimes you have the riffraff because you have people come to an area because, oh, that's a place to go gamble. Nobody's going to be coming to us because they want to go gamble, because first of all, they can go to Sullivan County and get a much better product. They can get a game, you know, table game.
They can get a lot.
So if they're coming to us, it's because they enjoy the spa, they want to go horseback riding, whatever it is that they want to do. It just so happens to be that with enough traffic and enough people attracted to our location, when they walk through and see the slot machines there and they play them, we can generate enough income to then make sense of this whole entire scenario. So we can make sense of the investment, we can make sense of the employment, we can make sense of generating this kind of, but it's not something that, it's not enough to create a scenario where all of a sudden this becomes a place where people come to gamble.
And of course these will be very green around the place.
We hope so. We don't know that part yet, but we hope so.
Yeah, I still recycle because when you run that board 20 years ago.
You haven't forgotten.
No.
The reward card sounds like such an innovative idea.
Thank you.
Excuse my naivete, though. Can you explain what this is? I'm not crazy. Okay.
Have you ever been to a casino?
Yes.
Ever played a slot machine? Okay, so when you go to a casino today, or a casino, the first thing they do is they want to identify you, and they give you a card, a plastic credit card, looks like 99 strip or whatever. And when you go to a machine, you put it in the machine, and you play, and play. You win or lose, whatever length of time. What is keeping track of while you're doing this, how much you're betting, and how long you're betting. And there's a math for that, and then you pull the card out and go to a thing where it'll tell you right there, oh, you earned $30 in comp dollars. Oh, you earned $50 in comp dollars. $100. And you can use it typically if you're into Caesars. You can use it anywhere in the nation or world at a Caesars. And you can use it to buy rooms. You can use it to pay for your dinner. You can use it for show tickets. So what we're suggesting...
That's separate from your win. Win or lose.
You earn this win or lose. It's a comp. It's free to you as a player. It encourages you to keep playing. It encourages loyalty too.
Because you get to come back.
If you break even, you won. And if you lost a little bit, you may have still won too. So the difference is, we're proposing to finally do what everyone says they're going to do. Listen, I went to Atlantic City, I think it was 1982. I forget the first year I went there. I couldn't wait. I was in college. My friend and I, we drove up there. And I remember driving in. I'd never been to Atlantic City before in my life. And I remember driving into, we stayed at the Playboy Club. It just opened up, right? So it was really exciting for us two young guys to go there. And when we drove in through town, I was like, holy cow, this place looks horrible, right? Then the hotel was beautiful, and we stayed there, and we drove home back to the same town. Couldn't say it's the exact same thing I saw then. I don't see any difference. And I know they get all these deals and stuff, but it looks the same to me. More parking garages, but that's about the only thing I notice difference. So I've always heard the speech, and I listened to them just recently with all the casino talk about how it can help our community. And that's what made me think of that. Because they said, how do you get an Ivy parking lot? My guys don't leave my parking lot today. They drive up to the ranch, they park 3 days, 4 nights, 7 nights, 6 nights, 2 nights. Then they get in a car and go home. They don't go all around our community. Now, other properties just fall to that by not having meals and not having facilities. So if I was Minnewaska Lodge, they foster people going around. But they're really a motel, not a resort, all right, or a B&B and not a resort. So how does a resort get them out of the parking lot and into your store? How do you do that? That's how you do it. There's only one way to do it, to give them money to go to your stores. And the kiosks would be in our lobby, free to anybody who wants to put their stuff there. We want to encourage them to go from here to Kingston, from here to Woodstock, from here to New Paltz, from here to Bronx and Ackford, Ellenville, and so forth and so on. It's of no concern of ours, but we know that every dollar we spend in our community. So it's the first time you've seen something that actually shares And I think, I honestly think it'll be, if it's so true, it'll be the single largest economic development change on a retail basis this county's ever seen. I know it will.
It's very, I also think it might have the chance of having people come back. Because if they ended their trip and they got to get home, now they've got this money. I'm going to spend the money, so I'm going to go back.
And what are they going to find? What I've always said, they're going to find what we have in Ulster County, which, listen, we've got two great things in Ulster County. We've got hiking second to none in the world. All right, so you can't find hiking anywhere else. We also are the only county that has the charm, the stars of small towns you can't find anywhere else. You know what Sullivan County would do for our towns? I mean, our towns are unbelievable. So, yeah, we're going to put them in those towns, and that's what this will do.
Any other questions? There's a motion and a second on the floor, Resolution 113.
I'll make the motion.
All right, any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. David Elliott, congratulations.
Thank you, everybody.
Great job. Good luck with it.
What's your best?
You're an innovator. I'll take care. All right. I would like to take one resolution out of order, if I may. I know one of our legislators does have to leave. I'd like to skip down and take Resolution 118 out of order, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah,
I believe she leaves. She left. She has a young.
I didn't realize
I did not know she was leaving, but I know she does that.
I know you guys got presentations at the Business Alliance for the, the research project? The targeted industry analysis?
Yes.
Fair weather? I just received them, so I haven't even looked at them yet.
Okay.
And this is the first time I'm seeing this. And the last time we had this, we talked about, you know, giving a little bit more heads up and an ability to have a dialogue before we're voting on moving the money. So what I would like is to postpone the vote on this and moving the money until we've had a chance to review this information.
Okay, I'll second it.
I'm sorry.
What are you seconding, Chris? I thought she was making a motion.
No, we've made a motion.
I mean, Fairweather has been hired by the UCEDA.
I understand they've been hired. They have no money in their account, and this money covers the, you know. I understand that, but I thought we had an agreement that we would be talking about these things, and we'd have ample time to get the information before we're making a decision on moving money in there. This is the first we're seeing the plan. I just got today the documents on this.
Okay.
And so all I'm asking for is can we delay it a month, so give us time to digest this before we move on it. There's a schedule of payout that doesn't require everything right away, and I'm sure there's still money in the business alliance, correct?
I believe there is. I'm not sure exactly of the balances.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. It's just, you know, for the opportunity to digest what we've got here, and then before we go ahead and move the money in it.
Yeah, I mean, as everyone knows, I'm new to committee. I think I attended one committee meeting prior to being on the committee, and it was the one where there were some of these same concerns about getting information in advance. Lynn's referring to a report that
you say we,
but I've just done it. I've never seen it. I mean, so that was even what I was looking for, to
some of, like, this proposal that Suzanne made today, like, when I think of a plan, I like to see a budget attached, and I know that we have a contract in here, but the best I could tell, this contract was identical to the last contract, but just moving 150,000, it's not telling you the breakdown of how, you know, how things are going to be done. And I, forgive me because I am new here, but I would love a little more time, and I'd love the information. I'd love
well,
the document.
Well, you're kind of, just so you know, let's go, just go
okay.
offline for a second. The contract is with the county and the UCEDA, the Office of Business Services.
Mm-hmm.
The Fairweather contract is something totally separate.
But it's part of what
that is, that is from the UCEDA. They hire them.
Right.
It's a general operating revenue.
Correct. It's not OEC.
Yeah, but that 150 is going to fund the
Fairweather.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point.
Yeah.
And to that point, Jim, I mean, I understand that distinction, although I do feel like I have to get speed on other distinctions, but I also feel like we're the oversight committee, and I realize there's a difference before, but I would like to have some sense of, approving, understanding a larger plan. I feel like this one page and just for this resolution with the boilerplate contract of this $150,000 is, I just need a little bit more, and I'll be able to get it. I'll probably get that, and I'm going to ideally set it for
Thank you very much. I'm not on the committee, but I do have several questions that, and I will try to basically address some of those, I think, with Suzanne face-to-face. But just looking at Schedule A, because one, this is sort of a big one, at the end of the contract, it says program management, provide oversight and administration of county economic development programs, including but not limited to revolving loans, shovel-ready, ready-to-go. This sounds strangely as if we just created UCDC all over again, and they're providing the staff support to these different programs.
No.
Okay, no. Then please correct me, because it says right here program management for those ready to go do not exist, but revolving loan and shovel ready have previously existed.
They've always existed. There hasn't been, I don't believe, a revolving loan or shovel ready meeting in over, I'm going to say, a good year and a half, if not closer, you know, to 2 years.
And before that, though, who was providing support?
The UCDC.
And
I think you probably did have an overlap.
Yeah, I think it's time. All right, so it means that all of a sudden, now all of a sudden, we've now recreated UCDC.
No, you have an Office of Business Services, which Suzanne is the director. You haven't recreated UCDC, Hector.
Okay, so I will go.
I have no problem postponing this a month. Okay, but I want everybody to be fully informed and totally understand the structure of how the Office of Business Services relates, coordinates, whatever term we want to use, with the UCEDA and that.
Yeah. Well, I just for the record, just for the record, I mean, I've even asked Suzanne, because I know you guys have the Business Alliance meetings, if there's a way that these meetings can be aligned with our economic development so that, I mean, I know stuff gets discussed there. The problem is it doesn't get back here. We don't get the information unless we're asked for it. Can't always make the meetings. I know it's hard. But it would be great to, even if we can't get them aligned so that they're, piggybacking on to economic development, at least be able to get what gets presented at that, get handed out, because we don't get it unless we ask for it. So, and that should be automatic to us, because as oversight from an economic development perspective, we should understand what we're voting for and not just rubber stamping stuff without having full knowledge. And I guess that's where I'm coming from. Yeah.
I'm totally open to that.
I know she's trying. We've been talking about this, and I think it's about trying to coordinate it in a way that at least for me, I'll speak for myself, I feel informed and I feel like I understand the decisions I'm making and that they're good decisions.
The thing I'm very confident about is that all of us are looking to improve the economy of Ulster County.
Exactly.
There's nothing controversial here. I think there's a lot of good work and things. Again, and I think part of the problem is the last several meetings we had have been these very, very late night meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to scheduling any side meeting, anything during the day. Again, there's a lot of good work happening. I think the input of the committee could do nothing but make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no trouble delaying this along. We're going to reach a point that we've got to get 15
this is
a lot of good work going on.
Thursday at 3 p.m.
Next Thursday.
The next UCD.
I know. And see, I've worked during the day.
I know,
and that's why I asked for a copy of the two presentations, which I'm happy to share with everybody. We'll get a copy. This is the Fairweather and then this Iowa group that also presented, and can we get copies for everyone? Because I think that would be helpful.
Or just scan them and send them an email.
Yeah. We probably can get an email from
There were two very specialized analysis. Again, within a kind of a price range we could afford. This is something we could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on, but we through our work we identified a couple of opportunities where we could do a very targeted something within our budget. So we found two potential consultants and we did presentations for them as well. So,
once a month, it's not a second Tuesday kind of thing, as needed. I think the reason next Thursday is, for the audit, that was kind of a special.
I know the discussion about the shovel ready committee and the revolving loan committee. I would really encourage this committee to get those reactivated moving forward. I mean, there's a lot of outreach that we could be doing, a lot of call for projects. There's a lot of resources there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
she mentioned something about it, but we never really had a conversation, other than it was, thinking about it, and, so I didn't know where that stood.
Yeah.
What do we have to do to get reactivated?
They are reactivated.
Are they?
The gentleman, I think he just left the county. He was working with you, Jan.
Correct.
So there hadn't been a meeting. That's part of the not the problem. There hadn't been a meeting a good year and a half.
But when can this committee get reactivated? It's already reactivated.
Okay.
Suzanne.
And fully appointed?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But those are the things that we should at least be talking about at the table. That's the stuff that I think could be really helpful for all of us. I know it's for me.
All right. Okay. So I want to hold this off? Motion second. Aye.
Thank
Moving
you.
Along. Appointing an alternate member to the Ulster County Planning Board for the town of Marlboro. Discussion.
Move for this.
Who is this person?
I'll check in for discussion.
You sure? Do you know this person?
No.
Lynn?
No.
I think we should have a thorough investigation. I'd love to. Bob, where are you?
17.
All those in favor?
Yeah. Aye.
Going to skip down to 117 so Mr. DeBella can get home.
authorizing the Ocean County Executive to apply and accept for Section 55311 federal and state funding under the terms of the existing continuing agreement with the State of New York Department of Transportation for the purchase of one diesel low-floor medium-duty bus for fiscal year 2015-26 from the Department of Public Transportation. Bob, would you like to add anything?
5311 is a little
funny. Okay. How much of it's funded? Fully 90% funded by federal government, federal and state funded. Any discussion? Or is there a motion and a second? Sure.
Asked the same question before, and that these vehicles can run on a blend of biodiesel and petrol.
Regarding the run on B-5-2-20, is there any plan or consideration in giving run the B-20 in the summer months, or is the month where it's not going
to go? I should probably speak to a little more. So we've done a lot of analysis. The B5 is readily available right now. Yes. The B20 isn't available in the quantity that we would need it right now. So we decided to bid out the B5, and then we're exploring to go to the B20. And I know there was
a seasonal basis.
Yeah, I know.
That's what we needed.
Actually, Bob had raised some concerns about shelling in the colder months of the biodiesel. So the B5, B20 is the shelling probably. We certainly want to get and use the highest amount of a blend of biodiesel that we can get in sufficient quantities. I mean, the whole idea is to reduce the emissions from the buses. So.
Yeah.
But again, there's a very large supplier available. There's state bid for B5 right now. It's readily available. And we identified an alternate vendor who serves part of Dutchess County. So the right thing is that we decided to do our own bid. So,
because
we didn't get the state contract on
the state contract.
Did they have the 20 on the state contract? They do, but we're
concerned
about the quantity and availability.
Yeah,
and then the whole bunch of things have been placed.
All right. The motion and a second.
So this.
Member county without a transportation plan.
The B20 has he talked to any of the neighboring counties coming here or north of us? Are people using B20?
I don't know. They're using the B20 level for fleet buses. We went into this in detail that the engines on the buses are only warranted to a certain level of biodiesel. We do have a couple that were going to be B20.
I just love that, you know, what's the old is new, because we had the same debate when Cynthia was still over you guys, and it was the old form of government, and it was, you know,
long time ago.
It was a long time ago in a land far, far away, because we ended up, back then part of it was the rubberized gaskets that are within the engine itself. That biodiesel burns too clean, actually erodes that down, and that became an entire like sub discussion. I think that like Ferrari's gonna but you need to think. I should just commend you. That's all. We even get to B5. It's realizing a goal of this county, of this legislature, of I think of all of us. And it's just, I want to just make sure for the record that you're, you know, that the executives and the staff and Bob are all commended, because this is such a long-standing goal, and we've been waiting for places, you know, because we knew there would be a day when we could get some of those buses that couldn't handle biodiesel at all. Like, not even couldn't handle B5 or B10.
Right.
And now we're in a position where enough of those buses have been replaced where we can actually begin to achieve biodiesel in our fleet. It's just,
I think, as we discussed it further, you're going to see some opportunities that are coming up for other vehicles at the highways.
Well, that's where my spirit comes in, because I was involved in those
discussions. That's very well.
I
still
think
we should cut it out with the older equipment has natural
level
gas in the seals in it. And the biodiesel
is stem. Yeah,
so that's why the newer diesels now, by regulation, have synthetic seals that won't biodegrade at all.
Yeah.
So we throw them away. We're going to watch very carefully.
We're worried about startup. And literally, you have the mechanics come to the committee, those reads and whatever, they're kind of like, yeah, no, you put the diesel in, because the of our fleet was really old, and it was,
the new, a lot of our fleets are new,
the
new diesel engines, by statute, have to have synthetic seals, so the newer buses will run on. The older buses, you won't be able to, even if
it's just a time.
With the synthetic,
you'd have to take every seal out of the engine, and if you're going to spend that kind of money, you might as well buy a new motor. It's cheaper.
Yeah. Have you or are you going to run the analysis on the emissions savings?
It's done. And made it done at all.
That's great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Federal government's done that.
Our fleet, so we know that. Because I know it came up in our conference.
It's all done, and we're really excited about the results. I'm happy to share it.
I would love to.
I just want to say that I was involved with the biodiesel co-op, and they were using 100%. And they were using it in their vehicles, which they cared a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
My initial reaction, I heard biodiesel, that's great. When I'm hearing mostly B5 and maybe B20, I want to try and push that envelope.
Mm-hmm. The issue also is there's a lot of federal money involved. And we can't spend federal money and then do things that void warranties.
Well, I don't want to violate any warranties at all, but I think if you can use B20 to get to this.
Oh, yeah. No. I think our goal, and I'll say it very clearly to the committee, the goal is to reduce the emissions from the bus fleet as much as we can. And again, you know, we know that we have a readily supplied the B5 right now. We're going off the bid. That will be in the tank. Of a new cat is as soon as it's available, we can complete the process, and then we're exploring opportunities to, you know, from that. And then of course our joint is beyond new cat. We're also looking at we have an extra tank over at the quarry, and we're looking at doing a higher end biodiesel there and using some of the other equipment that we have. We have to do a lot of exploration around
here. We have the same thing with the Clearwater. Yeah, we run it on biodiesel and we.
Just a small one. And it's more curiosity. We don't have that answer right now. We can talk later about it. But if Ninebots actually uses D20 in many of their sort of heavier vehicles, they're clearly not worried about voiding warranties. It's just more of just curiosity. That's all. So at some point, we can actually just.
I don't know that they're using all D20.
No. But in certain vehicles that the Thruway Authority has to use the D20. That's actually for years ago. So.
The answer that I would give you is to standardize the fleet. That's the logic. You have to go out with the bonus
kit,
and
I have 6 different manufacturers
in my
list,
all that has different engine warranties and stuff.
Motion? Are you motion? You're not going to motion?
No, we did motion.
Oh my God.
No, I need a motion.
There's a motion by Legislator Bartels, and then second by Legislator Archer. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you, Bob. Sorry. Moving right along here. Resolution number 115, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Department of Transportation to fund the Ulster County Transportation Council with the Ulster County Planning Department as host agency. Okay, for discussion. Discussion. All those hearing none. All those signify by saying aye. Opposed? So carried.
Aye.
Resolution number 116, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute contracts and agreements with the New York State Department of Economic Development to allow the county planning board to act as a census-designated affiliate.
The motion?
Second.
Legislatures Archer and Allen, thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Aye.
All those aye, saying aye. Okay. Opposed? So carried. Is there anything we missed?
131.
Appointing a member to fill vacancy on the Ulster County Trail Advisory Committee.
This is a real I'll make the motion.
Thank you. Legislator Allen, thank you.
And if I may?
Yes, you may.
I just want to say this was a real guest for the committee. This guy brings a lot. Hank Ellicott, and we are very happy.
Where does Mr. Ellicott come from?
Well, Monk, he's in the preserve now.
Oh, great.
He does a lot of work there, and he's got a lot of knowledge and background.
Okay.
Very impressive.
We have one on the new business. Did we cover everything, Krista? We did. We. That's so fast, Chris. It's for you. You pass these down. Legislator Rodriguez has a request of him. Would like to introduce a resolution. I don't think Hector
the graphite.
Right. We're going to act on this tonight. I just want everybody to have it with respect to
a few words right there.
Okay. Everybody got one? One more?
I didn't print them up, so I can't use our policy. However, I appreciate Legislator Bartel bringing that up. I didn't print them, so. I am sure that we will then send a three in honor of the following that have occurred. If the committee will indulge me for approximately 2 minutes, if that's okay, Mr.
Yes.
So, as legislator Donaldson, former Chairman Donaldson, alluded to earlier, the Ulster Tomorrow was kind of my baby, and it took 2 years of my life. Or stole years of my life, I'm not quite sure which. But it was a very intense process because we came from very intense places, very intense disagreements about the future of our county. And I think what ended up happening is along the way, each side kind of began to appreciate the other. And that process, it took some time. And it took some really strong feelings. But I think we eventually came away with the sense that we all care about this county together. How do we find ways to work together to make these dreams come true? Where we disagree, let's say Donaldson and myself, Ulster Tomorrow is actually still being used in certain ways. You actually still see the echo of it even in this proposal presented by Suzanne. I mean, we are still at the end of the day talking about the same, how do we support certain industries, certain businesses at the end of the day.
That contract came out of Ulster Tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, at the end of the day, it's still sort of being used. In fact, it's actually adopted as part of our comprehensive plan. But the issue is that Ulster Tomorrow was meant to be a living document. It was meant to be updated. It was meant to be changed, I mean, because situations changed. I mean, literally, as soon as we finished the document, the entire country then experienced the greatest downturn it has ever experienced, in modern memory. So, we clearly need to start taking steps to reconvene and bring some people back together who, honestly, have been, clearly people are still working. It's not as if somehow, people who were involved previously, the entrepreneurs that were involved previously, aren't still here. We know where to go find you know, these people, right? They're still in business. They're strangled a lot, and they're still in business these days, I hope. And it's not a little bit, you know, one of our great leaders. And so, you know, so I think it's high time that we begin to take this process off again, especially when we're having these discussions about the future of our county. So that's partly why I wanted to bring this resolution forward and have the committee at least sort of, and I realize it takes time. I'm going to be held up on a whole bunch of other things. So I figure I'd rather start now.
And well, actually, I think, not to jump in, but I think probably you're a really good first step. Let's get copies of it to everybody. I think it is on the county.
On the
it's on the website.
It's on our website. And actually, by the way, that is only the executive summary. What people don't realize is that actually Hope Tomorrow is 184 pages. And sadly, I've read most of it.
But what it is, so I mean, it's not a, you know, a fortune cookie of, you know, getting, it's a blueprint. It's all of the things, you know, reaching out to a Fairweather, looking at this, reaching out. I mean, you know, the economic development game, and this was the comment, I mean, everybody, you know, you're going to run, you can get 100 people to run the analysis, okay? The bottom line, companies look to where they're going to get the most for their dollar. And you can sell, you know, quality of life. When they're looking at it, they're looking at your school district. They're looking at everything. Where are my children going to go to school? But one thing they're looking at, how can I reduce the cost of this? And when you're up against, and that's kind of just my frustration, and I'll say that just, you know, let's look at it first. Let's, you know, not fund it. We're up against states that are giving people buildings. They're giving them. You know what I mean?
The other thing about tomorrow, it was also a mindset. And I think that mindset was that people needed to start talking the same language, but in addition to that, we were also a lot more focused, we were less focused on business attraction. It doesn't mean that we gave up on business attraction, but we were more focused on growth internally, meaning how do we go and support the people who have already made the decision to make their business here, maybe because they're from here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you build more precision flows than to go and draft, you know, another IBM, right? And that was another part, I think, psychologically, you know, as it relates back to that document, there's also how these different sort of people who, how do you get more developers talking like environmentalists, and how do you get more environmentalists thinking like developers, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get these different people who are coming at as you know, or coming at the worldview from just drastically different places on that same page. And so that's the only thing I was going to just add as a
And if I may, to your point, I get what you're saying. I'm not trying to say, you know, let's not give them the money. All I'm saying is, and we've had this conversation, I feel like a broken record a little bit, is that it's about engage this group. This group has a lot of ideas. I mean, even Suzanne and I, we've met consistently over the last couple of months. I mean, she even said today, look, every conversation we walk out of, we both have a different set of ideas and agenda. It's about, if we're sitting on economic development, this group should be engaged in how do we move this forward. And without a strategy, with an outdated plan, which elements of it are still good, the reality is it's only one component. You've got your strategic plan for a business, and this is the business of Ulster County, needs to be, as he said, a living document, and one that we look at and talk about and ensure that we're doing things that help advance that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a one-sided thing. That's all I'm saying. It's not a reflection we shouldn't be spending money. Let's make sure we're spending money in the right places because we crafted out a plan around how we're doing it. If it exists there, then it needs to ensure we're all on the same page as to what it is. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and believe me, I know you've worked hard at this, and you've been integral to a lot of the activity going on around here. All we're saying is we all want to be a part of this as well, and we need to ensure if we all bring something different to the table, that can make the whole better. And I think that's all I'm asking is to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tracy? Okay.
I'll make a motion for
All right, but let's get a copy and then
Maybe you guys have these. Are there existing hard copies of the whole office tomorrow? It's on the county planning board website.
I just got a lot. I happen to have a copy.
I'll email it to you.
The whole thing?
But if there is an existing, they're found. I would like one to borrow and give back. Yeah, just because I like to turn the pages in old school sometimes. I get my eyes.
Dinosaur.
When I have to, that's just a lot. I have a total.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.